In the book of Jonah, amen. I want to read a little bit out of this first chapter of Jonah. Amen. He got swallowed, I think. Let's see, there's several little small books there. Go to Isaiah and then keep turning to it. Start not too far after Ezekiel. And you got, we're going to start with chapter 1. It's right after Daniel and Amos and Andy. Joel, Obadiah, all right. It's the Old Testament. All right. The book of Jonah, a little bit here in the first chapter, then we'll go to the second chapter. Amen. Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah rose up to flee into Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. And he went down. Everybody say, and went down. You always go down when you try to go against what God tells you to do. And Jonah went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof and went down. Everybody say, he went down. He went down into it to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. But the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. Then the mariners were afraid and cried every man unto his God, small g, and cast forth the wares that were in the ship into the sea to lighten it of them. But Jonah was gone down. Everybody say, he went down. That's what happens after God speaks to you and you decide you want to do something else. You go down. But Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship, and he lay and was fast asleep. So the shipmaster came to him and said unto him, What meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise, call upon your God, so be that God, this is small, not small G's now, this is the big G God, you know. Call upon your God, so if so be that your God will think upon us, we won't perish. And they said everyone to his fellow, Come, let us cast lots, that we may know who caused this evil to come upon us. So they cast lots, and the lot fell upon Jonah. Then said they unto him, Tell us, we pray you, for whose cause this evil is upon us. What is thine occupation? Where do you come from? What country are you from? What people are you of? And he said, I am a Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, which made the sea and the dry land. Then were the men exceedingly afraid and said unto him, Why have you done this? For the men knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord because he had told them. And I think most of you know what happens. They finally end up throwing him down. Everybody say, he went down. That's what happens when you go against God. You try to go any other direction. You may be seated. You can sit down. But I noticed a few things here in reading these passages, and I want to get on into the second chapter here in a moment. But I noticed a few things here. It was God Almighty that was telling Jonah what to do. And what he told Jonah to do was to arise, to go up, not go down. To arise, go to Nineveh, and cry against it because the wickedness of Nineveh had come up unto God. And there had to be a reason why God called Jonah to do this. I don't think Jonah was just out there twiddling his thumb somewhere and was just some old guy that never did think of God. There probably was a strong relationship that had been going on for a long time, and he'd probably been mightily used of God. I haven't studied it out, but I'm sure if I would really dig into it, it would make sense to think that Jonah didn't just start out living for God at this moment. There had to be a reason why God was calling him to be the man to do that job. And for Jonah to just simply, after God says, you do this, for him to just run away and decide to do something else. God said, you go there and you do this. And Jonah turns around and goes there and does that. He rose up to flee into Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Anytime you go against what God tells you to do, the only way you can go is from the presence of the Lord. I don't care what it is, just if you know that God has called you or spoken to your heart, told you to go any direction in your life, if you know for sure it was God, do it. Go with God. Be blessed of God. Because these things that happened to Jonah, I noticed in the, as he went from the presence of the Lord, verse 4, I mean, he, you know, a lot of people say, oh, look what all's going wrong in my life. The devil, look what the devil did. Look what the devil's doing to me. This was the Lord that sent the great wind to the sea. The Lord sent the wind to the sea. The Lord brought the storm on this disobedient man that he had called to do something for him. The Lord brought the wind. The Lord sent out a great wind into the sea. There was a mighty tempest in the sea, so the ship was about to be broken. See, when you go away from the presence of the Lord and you try to disobey God in any measure, you have an effect on the things that you are involved with. Even the very ship he was riding on was in trouble because of his disobedience. And the people on the ship, as innocent as they were, yet their lives were in jeopardy because one person fleeing from the presence of the Lord was bringing havoc to all around. Hallelujah. And these people were afraid, so, you know, evidently a bunch of heathen guys. Come on, let's all call on our God, see if we can get the right one to answer. But evidently from what we read here, they already knew that there was one person on board that ship that knew the real God. And he was down there asleep, trying to sleep it off, I guess, you know, trying to forget it's happening. But and when they woke him up and said, come on, call on your God. Call on your God. And see if your God can help us. Then they started wanting to know what to do, and Jonah gave them instruction. Well, all I know to tell you to do, since this is something that's happening because of my disobedience, cast me down, cast me overboard, get rid of me, and you'll be all right. That would be a terrible answer for your life, to find yourself in that predicament, to feel like the only answer for those around me is for me to be destroyed. Hey, you don't have to be destroyed if you're causing damage to those around you. Jesus went to the cross for all of them and for you too. But it's easy to get in that mindset, you know. Get in that mindset, oh, look, oh, woe is me, look what I've done. But God wasn't through with Jonah. He wasn't through. And God is able to bring about obedience to those people who really do love him, even though they may not act like it sometimes. And I believe Jonah loved God. I don't think he was just out there just loving the devil and loving the world and purposely wanting to go against God. I believe he loved God. But something went wrong. He was having a bad day or something. I don't know what was going on. But when God said, I want you to go to Nineveh, he disobeyed God. But if God wanted him to go to Nineveh, it didn't matter what would swallow him. He could still get him there. I want to bring a point across if I can. No matter what may swallow you in your disobedience, don't stop calling on God. No matter where you find yourself, no matter how low you may think you have sunken, you know, no matter how impossible it may be to get out of where you are, and it may seem like it's hopeless, call on your God. Because if God ever spoke to you, he can deliver you. If he's God at all, he can make a way when there is no way. And he is God at all times. And he can do anything. There is no fish that can swallow anybody that God can't open him up and get him out of. The Lord that prepared the storm, and the Lord that prepared the wind, and the Lord that caused the havoc because of his disobedience, also prepared the rescue ship. When Jonah thought he was being destroyed because of his disobedience, God was preparing a way for him to still obey God. It may not have looked like a way, but I guarantee it was better for the whale to be there than for it not to be there. God prepared the fish. I heard somebody say nobody can live in the belly of a whale. Jonah was able to because God prepared the fish. God made that whale livable. Probably nasty, but livable. Inside that whale, God had prepared it so a man could survive for a few days and come to his senses and start realizing, you know, I'm in trouble. And it's still important that I pray because God's big enough to hear me from down in here. In this darkness wrapped with these seaweeds around me and this juices and all this other junk this thing's been swallowing. He's just fitting in with all the junk that fish had been eating. And don't tell him why it was crawling around him. Because if God made it so he could stay alive, those other creatures were probably alive too. You know. Nothing was digested. Jonah's alive. He could live. They could live too. What a miserable condition he must have been in. No shower. No Sunday go to meeting clothes. Nothing but the knowledge that if God doesn't get me out of here, I'm sunk. I'm really sunk. Hallelujah. So Jonah prayed unto the Lord, his God, out of the fish's belly, and said, this is what he said, I cried by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me. Out of the belly of hell cried I, he heard my voice. For you have cast me into the deep, into the midst of the seas, and the floods compassed me about. All thy billows and thy waves passed over. He was acknowledging it's God that brought all these things to me. He's saying, God, I know you did it. I know you did this, and I know why you did it. Then I said, I am cast out of thy sight, yet I will look again towards your holy temple. You might ask, well, how did he know which way to look? I tell you what, if you really get sincere before God in a moment like this, this sincere, you'll look to the right direction. You will look to God's temple because his temple is the way that you pray to God with a sincere heart. Willing to do whatever it takes. Whatever you say, Lord, I am willing. He'd have saved himself a whole lot of trouble if he'd have just got up and gone up to Nineveh. But he went down to Tarsus. But God had said, I want you to go to Nineveh. Just like he told Peter, you know, I give you the keys to the kingdom and you're going to be my spokesman. So many words. What you do will be done, and God is going to honor it. And after that, Peter just did all kinds of terrible things. God called him. Said, you're going to represent my cause. You're going to be my spokesman. I'm giving you the keys to the kingdom. What you lock up will be locked in heaven. What you loosen will be loosed in heaven. You're the man, Peter. So a little while later, here's Peter said, I don't even know this guy. Cursing, swearing, lying. Running to hide, say, I don't know him, never knew him, never have been a part of this. After walking with Jesus and hearing his gracious words, and but God knew what he was doing, and he knows what he's doing with you too. Amen. Ain't no need to run away, because Jesus is going to catch up with you anyhow. You might go through some storms, you might have a tough time, but praise God, he's still able to get you where he called you to go to. You can just decide whether you want to go running into town with seaweeds all over you or if you want to keep on your nice suit that you had last night. Hallelujah. Either way, God's going to get His message across somehow, wherever He has to deliver you from, because God's callings are without repentance. God never makes a mistake. If He calls you to do something for Him, you can do it. Hallelujah. It's better just to go ahead and flow with the Spirit than to go against it. Because you go against it, things don't flow all that smoothly. But no matter where it takes you, no matter how hard the storm, the winds, the billows may, you know, just bounce you around. No matter where you find yourself calling out in darkness, and squirming and afraid and closed in and thinking there's no hope for me, always remember your God. He's a God who can hear your voice. Just as His sheep know His voice, He knows the voices of His sheep. He's tuned in. I don't care where you find yourself. And one thing you got going for you, if you know God has called you into anything that He wants you to do, it can still happen. Hallelujah. Isn't that a good thought? It can still happen. I prayed out of the belly of hell. You know, it's kind of like Jonah said, I went through hell. If anybody had a right to say that, I think he did. I mean, we hear these people up and down the street saying, I'm going through hell. No, they ain't going through hell. This man might have had a little bit of it, though. No, they're going through Norway. That's second to hell. But, I mean, you down there in the bottom of the sea in the fish's belly, you might want to say, I cried from the belly of hell. Because I don't know what all he was going through in that place. Probably the fish wondered what was going on, too. Probably had indigestion. Because here's a disobedient man called of God to do something. And you got a fish that can't digest whatever it is he swallowed. I can just see that fish saying, oh, what is this? Trying to get rid of him. Can't get rid of it. Because not right time yet. I mean, you get rid of it now, he'll drown. God's not through with him. The fish didn't know what was going on. God had made a submarine out of him. Sub base out here thinks they're so smart. That was submarines a long time ago. They just don't know about it. A lot more sophisticated than the ones they build. Hallelujah. I'm cast out of your sight. That's what I said. God doesn't see me. Yeah, surely he, you know, he don't see me now. I'm out here. No, he sees. An old lady told me when I was a kid, God's watching you all the time. Like it scared the pudding out of me. I didn't think anybody was looking. She said, God's watching you all the time. She said, he saw everything you did this morning. Yeah, I didn't know, but she had seen it too. God saw everything you did this morning. Scared me, though. Scared me so much that every time I started to do something after that, I looked around to see if anybody's looking. And I wondered if God might be. And sometimes I wouldn't do what I started to do because she seemed to know what she was talking about. I was just 5 years old. All I had really done was stole my neighbor's toy. And I got out of bed when nobody would be up. I didn't even put any clothes on. And I went running through the garden and got on their back porch and stole that little toy. When I came running out, I saw her walking down the street. So I just squatted down in the garden. I would write a song. In the garden, alone. Like that's been written, hasn't it? Okay. But when she came around later, she said, God sees everything you do. I thought I was hidden when I put all those toad frogs in my blue jean pocket. I didn't think anybody ever know about that, because I enjoyed playing with toad frogs during that same time period. And I'd go out and I'd gather these little toad frogs up, and, you know, you didn't have to wash your hands because they were wet after you handled these toad frogs. So just pick up these little toads and stick them in my pocket. And I had about 10 toad frogs in my pocket. They were just squirming around in my pocket, you know, just toad frogs, Brother Johnny. And I walked in the house. Mama was washing clothes. And back in those days, we had those old wringer-type washers. She said, "Take your pants off, son. I need to wash them." And it was too late. I didn't want her to know I had those toads in my pocket. I thought, if I don't tell her, she'll never know. She still talks about it today. Almost 60 years ago this thing happened. When those frogs went through that wringer. Those blue jeans were never to be worn again. Uncleanable. Nothing could help. Be sure your sins will find you out. That lady said, God sees everything you do. But coming back to now, it's really true. God sees everything you do. He knows everywhere you are, every act, every thought. Every step you take, there's nothing good or bad that you can do that He doesn't know about. And He still loves us. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And so He watches us go about doing all these things, failing, sometimes getting it right, sometimes getting it wrong. And then sometimes He calls us to do a particular work. He says, now you do this. And we go the wrong way. And we get ourselves in a mess. And we think maybe sometimes the devil's causing all this. When all it is God trying to get our attention. Say, I called you to do something. I still want it done. And everything around us is falling apart. And all of our friends and neighbors are in a mess. And nobody knows what's going on. And really, you know it's God that's dealing with your heart. So the best thing to do is do whatever it takes to totally depend on God. And I want to tell you something. When you're being taken up by a group of men and thrown over the side of a ship out in the middle of the sea, from that moment forward, you're totally dependent upon God. Hallelujah. Turn the air off, if you would. But you can depend on Him. Thank you, Jesus. You ever felt like you were in the belly of a whale? The few times I felt like it were those moments when I felt like God was dealing with me to go a certain direction. And I didn't want to go that way. So I went another way. The way I chose was what I wanted to do. But things didn't work out like I thought they would. It didn't work out like I thought they would. And then I didn't know what to do. But those things, when they absolutely were God dealing with me, somehow all the circumstances still worked together for the good of those that are called according to His purpose, those who love Him and are the called according to His purpose. I remember that day I was driving. I was in the music business, had several music stores, having truckload sales all over the state. Busy. My wife was busy. We were busy all the time. Had money flowing like a river in our house, just everywhere, just selling and going and managing and doing this and doing that. And busy, and still trying to make sure we went to church every time the doors were open. I wasn't worth anything in church during those days, but I had made a commitment. I was always there, but I was worthless. Because my mind was tired, and my body was tired. Because we went from can to can't with those old pianos, and new pianos and organs. And wherever I was, you know, I tried to make it to the house of God. But when I got there, I was worthless. But I had some money in my pocket. But years before that, God had called me. I remember the moment that I felt called of God, and I was just a little boy in the back seat of a car at a camp meeting. Dad and Mom and all my friends were inside, and I was out in the car. And I started crying and praying, just a little boy. And I heard myself saying, "Preach the word, Timothy. Preach the word, Timothy. Come on, preach the word, Timothy." And I just kept saying that over and over, and it felt so good. And then I felt like God is calling me to be a preacher. I was only about 8 years old. Preach the word, Timothy. But years went by, and I always remembered it felt like God called me to do something back then. And His gifts and callings are without repentance. And if He's called you to do something, He's called all of us to be His children. That's quite a calling. If you think you can't and you run the other way, He can still make it happen. If you'll depend on Him, if you'll trust in Him, if you'll totally put yourself into a position where your only hope is Jesus Christ, you can still make it. Hallelujah. But I found myself in this music business so busy in the rat race of business. And I was driving across the city, and pardon me for making personal references, but I study myself more than I do the Bible sometimes. And I know more about me, it seems, than I do that. And my struggles. Hey, don't look at me like that, you do too. You know more about yourself than you know about the Bible. Hallelujah. Sad but true. Hallelujah. You probably take care of yourself more than you take care of your Bible. Now, I'm not saying that to be negative, but we know, you know, I can talk about me, because I've had some Bible experiences, just like many of you had, where you had to make some decisions. And sometimes we don't know it's God dealing with us. We think we're just thinking some thoughts. And that's what I thought that day. I was driving that van, and I thought, man, what a rat race I'm in. I was running a radio station, operating 3 music stores, having truckload sales, trying to get in some college, and going to school. Going to college and teaching school. I was doing all that at one time. And trying to keep my family happy too. And my wife was running the same kind of race. My kids were babysitters all the time. We just running. And I said out loud to myself in the car, in the van, wouldn't it be something if I could just give all this up and just live for God all the time? Of course, it was just a ridiculous thought, and it was just me, you know. So I answered myself. Nobody else is listening. Nobody else is watching. Can't do that. Oh, this company this, and oh, that company that. If I were to stop everything, they'd send all kinds of hounds after me. There ain't no way I can get out from under these obligations. Because we were living high, you know. All these obligations, all these credit cards. When you're making all this money, then you pay all these big bills. You obligate yourself, and you've got to keep making that money to keep paying those bills. So in order to keep all that going smoothly, we just had to stay where we are. So I said, sure can't do that. Maybe I'll just kind of give up some of these things, but I've got to make sure that I can pay these bills. But then I said, it would be something, though, if I could just get rid of all this somehow. I can look back now. I know that God was talking. I thought it was me then, but it was God. And then my answer, you know, I didn't know I was answering God. I was answering to me. I thought I was answering myself. But I learned later, you know, sometimes God talks to us this way. And I started saying, you know, just maybe I might give this some thought. No, I can't do that. Just can't do it. But what if I could? You ever had times you talk to yourself? What if I could? To make a long story short, as I was driving, after a while, I started thinking, I think I will. And then some tears came in my eyes. I'm going to do this. And then I started praising the Lord. And the thoughts of, there's no way, it can't be done. Because all my thoughts was, I'm going to go the other way. I'm going to go this way. I'm not going to do that. I want to go down over. I want to go to Tarshish. You know, I want to do something else. Not that I'm not going to give my whole life to God, but what if I could? Maybe Jonah went through something like that. Maybe Jonah went through something like that. What? Oh, I can't go to Nineveh. Those people are mean. They're, if God sees how ungodly they are, what are they going to do to me? But before that day was over, I was driving that van and crying and speaking in tongues. Saying, yes, Lord, I'll do this. Yes, Lord, I'll do this. And when I got home, and I shared this with Brother Ernest today, when I got home, I was so excited because I was a liberated man. I was a free man. It was impossible. There's no way it can be done, but I'm going to do it. And it felt so good to say yes to God, because I knew the God I served was a real God. And I knew He could make this happen somehow. I didn't know how it was going to happen. I just knew that I was in some kind of a situation I couldn't get out of. I can't stop. I got obligations. I got to have this job. I got to have all this business. I got to keep on pushing, keep on selling. Got to do it, got to do it. And then God started dealing my heart. And to say yes when you're being called to God is one of the most wonderful experiences that you can ever experience in your entire lifetime. It's a whole lot better than getting swallowed by a whale. Hallelujah. But I felt like I was liberated just at the thought that I have said yes to God. Praise God. I've said yes. I went home so excited. I bounced up the steps. I opened the door. I said, honey, I'm quitting everything. I'm quitting all the music business. I'm getting rid of the cars. We're going to sell out. We're going to just hit the road for Jesus. She said, you're a fool. Shut your mouth. You got obligations. You ain't going to do me like that. You get all my hopes built up. Got this nice house. I got my own car. You got your own car. I've got all these credit cards. You want to give it all up and go preach somewhere? You better think about it. I could just see fangs coming out, it looked like. I thought you'd be happy. Only thing you can do to make me happy is keep doing what you're doing. Think I'll go down to Tarsus. I mean, I'd been with that lady shouting and speaking in tongues and revivals and this, you know, that going on and choir singing, directing music and stuff. She sang the leading part and danced all over the place. And I felt like, if I'm going to give my life completely to God, she'll probably just dance all over the house speaking in tongues. But, yeah, but you ain't going to do this. So that put me in a state of mind. God, are you sure this is you or is this just me? Did I have too much to eat last night? What's going on here? Went over to a little Sunday school room in the church. Got down on my face. I don't know if you've ever been in a situation. You know, it starts off, it's a struggle. You don't really know. I'm a human being. I don't know about you, but I'm a human being. Got these aches and pains, and I got these hang-ups and problems and thoughts and all kinds of things that bother me and things, you know, doubts and fears and anxieties and all this frustration that goes on sometimes. You ever have any of that stuff? And I was in that little room and this whirlwind going on in my mind and that face on my wife and that scene in my van of me driving and praising God and feeling so free and just because I said yes to Jesus and now something was just miserable. That valley of decision, Brother Mike. I needed a truck to pass me with Christ as the answer on it. Thank you, Jesus. I was down on my face just struggling. I've heard people say, you see that guy down there, you know, we've been in camp meetings and things, he's got a devil in him. It may not necessarily be a devil, it might be a valley of decision. Sometimes you can get in such a valley trying to make a decision to do the right thing, and you know what the right thing is, but look at what's going on, what it's going to cause, what kind of attitude you're meeting with, what kind of things are going to have to be changed, and are you sure you want to do it? And so there was that time of struggle. And I wasn't really sure when I started to pray in that room. Oh, God. It was just a matter of like, started off with, oh, God. Yeah. Oh, God. Oh, God. I'm serious. That's just how I was at that. God. Oh, God. Now, what I'm showing you right now is an actual demonstration of exactly how it was. God. God. I got down on the floor, put my face against the floor, and I said, oh, God. It seemed like none of that went to God. I didn't even feel God. You ever been there, Brother Rick? Anything like that ever happened to you? Oh, God. What was happening was I was entertaining some thoughts again. Because of my wife. God don't want my wife to be unhappy. Probably cause a divorce if I do this, if I follow God. God wants me to be happy. God wants me to have a family. God wants me to... Oh, God! I'm telling God what He wants. I'm telling God how to operate in my life. And that's why I was struggling so much. I was down in the bottom of a ship. They just thought I was asleep. But after a while, again, what if I could go through with this? Just what if? What if I could go on and do what I feel like God wants me to do? And then pretty soon, I'm going to do this. No matter what she thinks. No matter what I have to go through. No matter what I lose, I'm going to do this. And once again, I came out of that room liberated. It feels so good to know you're going to do it. Even if you haven't done it yet, I'm going to. I'm headed to Nineveh. God told me to go do this, and I'm going to Nineveh. I am going to Nineveh. In my case, I'm going to freedom. So without telling my wife this time, got in my van the next day, and I drove up to Little Rock, Arkansas, took the nice van that I delivered all those organs and pianos with, and went to Betty Nichols, the owner of J&J Piano and Organ Company, and I said, I'm giving you notice that I quit. She said, how much notice I get? I said, well, I'll spend 30 days trying to help you pick up the pieces, but I'm quitting now. You can't do this to me, she said. I said, well, I'm not going to just abandon you. But she said, well, who are you going to work for? I said, God. Betty said, you can work for God and me at the same time. She had already advised me a few weeks before that to get out from under my daddy's dominating my life. She said, he has you going to church entirely too much, and it's hurting your ability to make sales. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. But Betty, I'm going to work for God. That's so good to tell her that. The more I told her that, the more confident I got in, you know, just... She said, you'll go broke. You'll fall flat on your face. I said, I'm going to do whatever it takes. I'm going for God. Well, if you change your mind, I said, I ain't changing my mind. That felt so good. I'm not changing my mind. But then when I got back home, I had to meet my wife again. Then I had to go back and pray again. Then I made that commitment again. The next morning, I'll make this short. I got to get through and get. I'm almost through. The CD says it don't have anything on it, so the clock under it. Next morning, I went over to Stuttgart, Arkansas, where one of our stores was, and we'd been selling all kinds of stuff over there, but musical stuff. But there was a man standing at the front door, and some of you heard this story through the years. And he was the owner of some copper factories. And he wanted to give me the opportunity of a lifetime. When you finally say yes to God, you can expect all kinds of blessings to come your way. They're not all necessarily going to come from God. What he was offering me was a chain of music stores nationwide. And going to let me own 60% of the company. And all I had to do is say yes to this multimillionaire. And he was going to finance all the advertising, pay all the bills, and let me do all the decision making. And all I had to do is shake his hand and say yes. Well, it sounded so good. And regardless of how much I prayed the night before, I reached up and shook that rascal's hand. Because it was all I ever dreamed for. To be able to do that. What an opportunity. But the night before I said, God, I'm getting out of the music business and I mean it this time. But there's this man saying, come here. You go with me. I look back now and I know what that was. That was an opportunity. That was the devil. I'm talking to somebody tonight because you got the same old devil talking to you. I know it's true. You don't even have to tell me. But if the fact that we got people coming to God and starting a relationship with God right now for the first time, you're having to make adjustments. Because right now, while you're trying to get your life in order to follow God with all your heart, everything that can happen to pull you out of this is being offered to you right this minute. You don't have to tell me it's true. I know it's true. Because that's the way it works. And every one of us had to overcome this in order to be able to say, I'm happy and free. Woo, glory. It's good to be serving Jesus today after all these years. Because you're going to get opportunities like you never got before from the world. And again, I had to go back to the church. Oh, God. Then the thought, I was here last night and I was here the night before last. I'm unworthy. I'm just unworthy. God, get somebody else. Look at all those music stores. You know, God, you know what. Look what I could do for you. If I had music stores all over this world, with my name on the sign out front, whew, man, look what a work I could do for God. Couldn't hear God, couldn't feel God, didn't think He's even listening to me. God? But after a while, I started thinking, what if I decide not to go through with this deal with that man? I already told him I'd do it. But what if I just decide not to do it? You know how the story goes. If I ended up, I'm not going to do that. I'm going with God. Then I was a liberated man again. I was still in debt, still had those credit cards, still owed everybody in the face of the earth, it seemed like, and I knew they were all going to be knocking on my door in a few days. But woo! I was free again. There ain't nothing in life better for you than your freedom and happiness. No amount of money can replace absolutely being free and knowing you're okay. Knowing you're okay with God. Would you worship Him right now? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. That's why I insist, if at all possible, make decisions that causes you to end up in church, no matter what you have to say no to, no matter what you have to adjust. If at all possible, as soon as possible, make sure that you make it to church, because this is where all the fun is. This is where all the happiness is. You got to admit this is better than what they got out there. Thank you, G. Even though after 9:30 it may not seem like it, but it really is. It really is. Thank you, Jesus. I'm almost through. But my personal experience was this. I didn't go through with that man's offer. 3 weeks later, they were knocking at our doors, needing that money. Didn't have it. Phone was ringing. I was praying, ready to go, do whatever God wanted to do. But, you know, then there were people saying, you got to pay your bills. What kind of Christian are you going to be out there working for God and can't even pay your bills? Oh, $1,000, $2,000, $3,000, and it got them $9,000, you know, $10,000. What am I going to do? And I was praying, and God just dropped it. I believe it was God because the way it was blessed. God dropped a little thought in my mind. Go get an old used piano, run a classified ad, fix it up, sell it the next day in the same newspaper. And here's what happened. I had a newspaper classified ad. Old piano needed for parts. Local piano tuner needs old piano for parts. If you have one to give away, call me as soon as possible. And then right under that ad, good piano for sale. Same phone number. And so I'd get this call, and I'd run and pick up an old piano, old junk pile. I'd stay up all night long working on it. And the next morning, somebody'd show up and buy it. I'd turn around and do it again. You know what? As soon as I got all those debts called up to where I could be free to go, I got a phone call. Star City, Arkansas. Fellow didn't even know what I was going through. He said, Brother Rutledge, God spoke to my heart and said you'd be available to come and preach for me. How'd you know? He said, God told me. I know how to hear from him. He spoke to my heart and said, you're ready to come preach. I went. I didn't even know what a concordance was. I hadn't listened in church. My daddy preached to me for years, but I was playing, squirming, running, doing this, knowing there's a call of God on my life, but I want to wait till later. I didn't know what a concordance was for, and I wanted to preach, and I studied all day looking for a scripture, and I couldn't find it in the Bible, and the way I was searching for it was like this. You know, it's got to be here somewhere, you know, because I heard it, and I was nervous, and I had to preach. But I was praying all day, and God brought something forth, and that altar filled with people, and revival hit that city. Praise God. I got to make this short and get through. But the third night, my daddy showed up, the same one that knew me all those years, sat there in the middle of the building looking at me with his arms folded. And I had already preached everything I knew. And I was sitting there on that pew saying, God, I'm not even sure I'm called to be a preacher. So discouraged. I didn't want him to be there. And I got up and stumbled around, stuttered. He came up after church and said, son, good job. It was the worst I've ever done in my life. Good job. Come and preach a revival for us next week. I did. And God blessed. That's the revival where Rodney, you heard me talk about Rodney, 500 miles away from home. Amen. His grandma on her knees said, I refuse to get up and refuse to eat until I see Rodney walking up that hill. He's out there smoking dope in a rock concert somewhere. They don't know where he is. All of a sudden he gets sick of the stomach, goes out, sticks out his thumb by the highway. A Pentecostal preacher with a Bible sat beside him, picked him up, and he said, son, I don't know who you are, but I'm a man of God, and somebody somewhere must be praying for you because I never pick up hitchhikers. And he just happened to be going right to the street where Rodney lived, 500 miles away. When Rodney got out of the car, started walking up that hill, Grandma had already heard from God. He's on his way home, and she had already started walking down the hill. They embraced, just like the story of the prodigal son, right out in the middle of the gravel road. Rodney came to church in the middle of that revival. God filled him with the Holy Ghost, and he got baptized in Jesus' name. What a blessing that was to see. Oh, that was so much better than driving that old truck full of those organs and pianos and going around and telling people, this is just what you need, when I knew it was going to fall apart in a few days. Then another guy calls. Why don't you come to Sheridan, Arkansas? Went over there, two nights, God bless. And then while we were there, a man from Texas, Orange, Texas, Brother W.E. Gamblin, a known man of God, you know, called wanting to talk to little old me. And he said, pack your clothes and come to Orange, Texas. And all a lot of you heard me talk about how we got down there and we had no money, used all our money up, told us to eat anything we wanted, and all they had was wieners. That's all. Just wieners. Just wieners in the refrigerator. We had wieners for breakfast, dinner, and supper all week long. Had too much pride to tell them we were broke and didn't have any money. And he even asked, do you need an advance? I said, oh, we'll be all right. And I was wanting one so bad. Got sick of wieners. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. Then we had Sunday service. He invited over to his house after church, and they served hot dogs. Baptized my first, never had baptized anybody before, but I was following God. Oh, it's so good to be free, following God. And so we had these people lined up to be baptized. He said, you do it, son, you baptize them. And so I got this guy, and I was bending over the baptistry to put him under the water in Jesus' name. And when I went down with him, I lost him. His head went down, his feet came up, he went all the way to the bottom with his feet sticking out. I was reaching for him, I couldn't reach him. And then I watched him as he was bubbling, you know, and mouth open, he was struggling to come back up, and he shot out of there, and water came out of his nose. And he looked around, he said, you looked to drown me to death. That was my Nineveh, I guess. But I'm just saying all that, you know, it goes on and on. But the story is, I'm here right now, and I don't regret one moment of this wonderful life since I finally said yes to Jesus and arose to go up with Him to where He wanted me to be. And that's my testimony. And the text we used was another person who was a man of God, called of God, to go somewhere and do something for God. He decided to go a different direction and probably struggled. We don't get all the details in the Word of God, but I wouldn't be surprised to someday learn when we get to heaven that this man Jonah probably tossed and tumbled before he made that decision to go down to Tarshish. No telling what he went through. I need to go to Nineveh. I think I should. God's calling me. I don't think I will, you know, and just no telling what he went through. But at the end of it all, God put him where he called him to be. Thank you, Jesus. So I'm not worried. I'm not worried if God has a call on your life. I'm just letting you know you can either get there through the struggles or you can say yes to God and save yourself a whole lot of trouble. Let's all stand and praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I don't regret a moment. I don't regret it even though while I was pastoring my first church up in Dawson Creek, 12 men were stomping on me and beating on me and jumping on me and kicking me in the teeth and hitting me with their fists simply because one of them's wife got the Holy Ghost and she didn't want to do what she did before. And they were mad at me and they were trying to kill me. But God delivered me. But I know the feeling of being somewhere a long ways from home and feeling so helpless. And the only one that can come to your rescue is the one that has called you. You know, I don't have any doubt they would have finished the job that day. But God had a call in my life. And there ain't nothing could stop you if God's not through with you yet. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Don't regret a mile I've traveled for the Lord. I don't regret being in Norwich. Not one minute. I love being here. 23 years of Norwich, Connecticut, and I'm so fired up and excited and happy about being here. I can hardly wait to get out of bed in the morning and just get out on these streets and invite somebody to come down here Saturday and eat with us. Thank you, Jesus. I love being free. Free. Couple came in here before church tonight. Said the same thing that many say when they come in. I need to talk to you privately. I already knew. I walked through the door. When I came in, I already knew. The man was sitting there not wanting to be here. Using her for an excuse because she visited one time a long time ago. Need to talk to you privately. Amen. So I just went ahead and said, I don't have any money to give you. Oh, we don't want money. And she's lying then. That's what they were going to ask for. We just need a place to stay. Now they want to stay here, I guess. But sorry. All I can offer you is Jesus. That's what I said. I can offer you Jesus. I can pray for you. You can stay and go to church with us. They didn't seem too happy with that. And I was told as they left a few minutes later, he was saying something about, I don't want prayer. I didn't come here to get prayer. Some of you remember the lady came in to talk a few years ago, and she stomped out and said, I don't want God, I want money. Church is not a place to give out money to every bum that comes by. I tell some of them, don't you know this is a place to get your money? You need to give it to the church. Quit asking us for it. They say, huh? And in other situations, when I see God dealing with a heart, and if I can get my hands on it, I'll do what I can to help. Praise God, because God is calling some people, and some people are struggling with the idea of maybe I can turn loose of this world if maybe I can do this. Oh, what a joy it might be. Yes, it will. If God's dealing with your life, start making preparations now, no matter what you have to go through, to come to a point in your life that you can absolutely put God first. Because I testify to you at the age of 63, putting God first in your life is the best thing that can happen to you. Hallelujah. Let's worship God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. There are people standing right here and sitting right here in this congregation that are going to do exploits for God. God's going to use you in a mighty way. I know that as sure as I stand here. But it's not going to be because of me. It's going to be because of your right decisions as you face the struggles of whether to say yes to God and go do what He's already called you to do. The easy way, just going for it now, or go ahead and say yes to Him when I come to bail you out of jail or whenever, whatever's going to happen, you know, because He's got His call in your life. Things are going to go wrong when you run from Him, but His gifts and callings are without repentance. That's talking about without God. God's not sorry He called you. He's not sorry He called you. And He's able to take you from where you are, no matter how many times you go the wrong way, and still get you to heaven. Thank you, Jesus. Would you praise Him with me? Thank you, Jesus. 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 Thank you, Lord. 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 Hallelujah. So that old whale, 3 days, wonder what's going on, I imagine. And all of a sudden he gets sick. What made him get sick? Because there's some praying going on inside that whale. Darkness can't hold you very long when you're praying. The depths can't swallow you up and hold you too long when you're praying. When you're called of God. And he vomited that preacher out. And the Bible says Nineveh was a 3-day journey. It don't mean it wasn't 3 days away from where he was vomited. It meant it took 3 days to walk across the town. It's so big. And he went a day's journey into the city, telling people, get right with God. And I'm going to tell you, after what that man went through, there was something mighty convincing about the way he presented the message. It didn't matter what he looked like now. It didn't matter what he smelled like. All that mattered is, I got to obey God. He was so strong in his conviction. So strong in his knowing what he was talking about. The king and all the people and all the animals started fasting and praying and calling on God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So, you know, if you're in a pit somewhere in the valley of decision, you don't know what to do right now, just get ready for the greatest move of God you ever saw in your life. Because God's going to make you so desperate that when you do come out of it, you're going to be one of the biggest fireballs for God there has been. Thank you, Jesus. Let's worship Him again. Hallelujah!
Oh, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Let's do the right thing. Amen. Let's do the right thing. Would you, one more time, let's gather around here. And let's just call on Jesus for just another moment. You might need this extra moment. Say yes, Lord. Hallelujah. Talk to Him right now. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord. Thank you for speaking to our hearts tonight. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. God, we believe you. Oh, yes, Lord. Hallelujah. Yes, Lord.